Hello, this is UU Tall Phillips, and yep, this is Loafer's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind. Yes, it is me, UU Tall Phillips, GVGSW to my friends, and of course Steve Baker in here who's doing all of the engineering. I'm only the fireman on this run. The music of the Borsdorfs there, and I tracked them down. Yes, by God, I found out where they are now. That little piece there at the beginning was a double yodel. It's a rare thing. There's not many people who can yodel two notes at the same time and make it sound like a train whistle. Jimmy Rogers could do it. Lord Buckley could do it, and you'll hear that a little bit later on. This program is going to be about trains. You know, my love affair, my fascination with trains, but it's a little bit more than that for me. By the way, we're here at this station, at a radio station, KVMR, Community Radio, in our lovely mountain village of Nevada City, California. Look, I was out here at the farmer's market down in the fairgrounds, and I ran into old Ernie Bierwagen. I mean, how long the Bierwagens have been out there in Chicago Park, nobody knows, but got an organic orchard out there. He's an orchardist. And we were just standing there passing the time of day, and he had these enormous organic peaches, and I asked him about how he could train the trees to bear the weight of all those peaches. So he described to me tying the limbs down below the horizontal, about training the tree. And I said, how did you figure out how to do that? And he said, well, I think farmers are kind of like artists. He placed his hand on his head and his stomach, his other hand flat against his stomach, and he said, I've got a picture in my head and an unfulfilled desire, like a poet or a painter or a playwright. Well, yeah. Now, with these trains, I've got a picture in my head and an unfulfilled desire to do this unknown music. Now, I know that I should tell you at the beginning of each one of these pieces what it is, but I'm not going to. That's not in the picture. But I will tell you, there's some good folks in Chicago, the Dunns, who put up a website for me, whether I want it or not. Wonderful people. And I'm going to send them a list of everything here, and then you can check in on that website. I understand it works. It's at utahphillips.org. You try that and see if it works. If it doesn't, don't call me. I don't understand it anyway. Well, all right, let's get on board. This is working, riding, tramping on the trains. Few buildings are vast enough to hold the sound of time. And now it seemed to him that there was a superb fitness in the fact that the one which held it better than all others should be a railroad station. For here, as nowhere else on earth, men were brought together for a moment at the beginning or end of their innumerable journeys. Here one saw their greetings and farewells. Here, in an instant, one got the entire picture of the human destiny. Men came and went, they passed and vanished, and all were moving through the moment of their lives to death. All made small tickings in the sound of time. But the voice of time remained aloof and unperturbed, a drowsy and eternal murmur below the immense and distant roof.
All out the Illinois Central, Lurid, Price, Tula, Hammond, Emmett, and the Senate, Luke, Kenwood, Old Sykes, Magnolia, McComb, Brookhaven, Westlake, White Crystal Spring. Carol Bound, the Jackson, the Turtle River, and Luxon, Madison, Canton. Bond, Pickens, Goodman, Durant, White Owner, Grenada. Siders, Munster, Dyes, Bud Fulton, Akiro, Carpenter. Central, Effingham, Mattoon, Champaign, Jackson, Chicago. Train on track 4, South Avenue 2.
Trains now leaving for Ronsdale, Gonsdale, Flipsdale, Jam City, Rouse, Cross, Crest, Cross, Ratitude, Latitude, Batitude, Hattitude, Nogsley, Dogsley, Frogsley, Homestown, Bombstown, Your Town, My Town, Way Place, Say Place, Gay Place, Routney, Boutney, Fitney, Schnicksnaw, Crasscraw, Assabaw, Avalanche, Palms, Pie, Farsville, Darsville, Harsville, Parsville, Crenley, Benley, St. Hall, and Cookney, now leaving on track 12. Boop! Woo! Tickets, please. Poppity bump, poppity bump, boopity 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 boop, poppity bump, poppity bump, boopity 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 boop. Tickets, please. Let's get our tickets out here. Tickets, please. Peanuts, popcorn, get them on the red hot. Tickets, please. Tickets, please. Let's get our tickets out here. Hoppity bump, hoppity bump, boopity 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 boop, hoppity bump, hoppity bump, boopity 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 boop. Tickets, please. Tickets.
Last call for the diner. How we doing, Fred? Right on time, Charlie.
Tickets, please. Let's have our tickets out here. Hoppity boop, hoppity boop, boopity 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 boop, hoppity boop, hoppity boop, boopity 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 boop, hoppity boop, hoppity boop. Tickets, please. Let's get our tickets.
Last call to the diner. What's the matter over there, Charlie? I don't know, Fred. It looks like he's stuck. I didn't pull the lid, there we go. What are you doing there, Charlie? I'm trying to do the best. Hey, get your stretcher, Fred. All right, I'm doing a lift all right. Help, help, what's got the ambulance coming now? 27 dead and 14 injured.
Thank you.
Look, friend, the great trains are dying. You read about it in your paper over breakfast coffee. There goes the Cannonball. There goes the Montreal Limited. There go the City of New Orleans and the Portland Rose. All gone. But don't mourn them. That kind of gigantic earth-striding energy cannot sustain itself forever. There are too many of us. Our lives are compressed and encapsulated. Wings carry us to places that look every day more and more like each other. Down below, pathetic remnants of once living iron creep with ponderous, slow majesty through our haunted frontiers. Tragic, poetic, gone forever. But don't mourn them. Rather, mourn the passing of their orphaned children, the ragged, shambling shadows dodging through the rusty, silent yards, their single and truest voice, the sobbing loneliness of a midnight ghost wailing through the dark, frozen hills. Rather, mourn the passing of the last of the free, and remember how it is with them.
My name's George Lay. I picked up this song along with several others in the hobo jungles in the late 30s. When we was trying to scramble around over the country and find a dime, which is hard to do, and it's a lot harder to keep it after you found it. There's a lot of guys along there that the ink was still wet on diplomas from their colleges, and there's a lot of guys that had never been inside of a school. About the only entertainment we had was these old songs at night. I don't know what the name of this one is. It's just one they used to sing a lot. Just out of San Francisco, one cold December day, beneath an eastbound boxcar, a dying hobo lay. His comrade stood beside him, his hat was in his hand, for he knew that his old buddy was going to a distant land. Go tell my girl in Frisco, no longer will I roam. I've caught an eastbound boxcar, and I'm on my way back home. I'm going to a better land, where you don't have to change your socks, where beer and foam come trickling down the rocks. The dying hobo closed his eyes and drew his last breath. His comrade stole his coat and hat and kept on heading west.
Get right, church, and let's go home. The great divide, the continental divide, is called the hump in tramp parlance. I first crossed the hump as a young tramp up in Glacier National Park in Montana. It is a singular experience in a young tramp's life, your first trip across the Great Divide. It's like a sailor's first trip over the equator. It is an occasion fraught with ritual and massive libation. The ritual is that you get up, as you know you've topped the divide, you lurch to the boxcar door, you grab the jam firmly in one hand so you're not pitched out into the unrelieved wilderness. And, well, there's no, yeah, there's a radio legal way to say this. You take out your lily and siphon it on the wind. But then you can spend the rest of your natural existence visualizing your own natural bodily fluids, half of them flowing down to the Platte River, the Mississippi, the Gulf of Mexico, the other half into the drainage system of the Columbia River, down to the Pacific Ocean and the far Spice Islands beyond. It is a cosmic experience, cosmic experience.
Why, it's old-fashioned. Charlie, you're an anvil salesman. Your firm give credit?
No, sir.
Nor anybody else.
River City, next station stop. River City, next.
Cash for the merchandise. Cash for the button hooks.
Cash for the cotton goods. Cash for the hard goods.
Cash for the fancy goods. Cash for the soft goods.
Cash for the noggins and the piggins and the firkins. Cash for the hogshead cask and jemmy jar.
Cash for the crackers and the pickles and the fly paper.
Where do you get it?
What do you talk?
You can talk.
You can bicker, you can talk. You can bicker. You can talk. You can talk. Bicker. You can talk all you want, but it's different than it was.
No, it ain't. But you gotta know the territory.
Why, it's the Model T Ford made the trouble, made the people wanna get out and go 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14, 22, 23 miles to the county seat.
Yes, sir.
Who's gonna patronize a little bitty 2x4 kind of store anymore?
What do you talk? What do you get it?
Not the Model T at all. Take a gander at the store, at the modern store, at the present day store, at the present day modern departmentalized grocery store.
What do you talk? Where do you get it?
You can talk, you can bicker. You can talk. Bigger. You can talk all you want, but it's different than it was.
No, it ain't, but you gotta know the territory.
Why, it's a you need a biscuit made the trouble. You need it. Put the crackers in the package. The you need a biscuit in an airtight sanitary package made the Cracker Barrel obsolete. Cracker Barrel went out the window with the mail pouch cut, plug, chawed by the stove. Changed the approach of the traveling salesman. Made it pretty hard.
No, it didn't. But you gotta know the territory.
Gone. Gone with the hogshead cask and demijohn. Gone with the sugar barrel, pickle barrel, milk pan. Gone with the tub and the pail and the tears.
Ever meet a fellow by the name of Hill?
Hill?
No!
Just a minute.
Never heard of any salesman, Hill.
Now, he doesn't know the territory.
What's the fellow's line?
Never worries about his line. Or the Cracker Barrel being obsolete, or the you need a biscuit in an airtight sanitary package, or the Model T Ford.
Just a minute.
Never worries about his line. Or a doggone thing. He's just a bang beat, bell ringing, big call, great go, necker nothing, rip roaring, every time a bullseye salesman. That's Professor Harold Hill.
Tell us, what's his line?
He's a fake, and he doesn't know the territory.
What do you talk?
He's a music man. He's a what? He's a music man, and he sells clarinets to the kids in the town with the big trombones and the rat-a-tat drums. Big brass bass. And the piccolo uniforms, too, with the shiny gold braid on the coat and a big red stripe running.
Well, I don't know much about bands, but I do know you can't make a living selling big trombones, no, sir. Mandolin picks, perhaps, and here and there a jew's harp.
No, the fella sells bands, boys' bands. I don't know how he does it, but he lives like a king, and he dallies, and he gathers, and he plucks, and he shines. And when the man dances, certainly, boys, what else? The piper pays him. Yes, sir. When the man dances, certainly, boys, what else? The piper pays him.
Yes, sir.
But he doesn't know the territory.
Went down and got a job with the rural electrification in the Navajo Indian Reservation. Running electric power lines into all the Navajo outhouses. I was one of the first people to wire ahead for a reservation. Finally, I'll tell you about the worst job I ever had in my life. Worst job I ever had in my life was working for the Santa Fe? Yeah, it was the Santa Fe Railroad, south of Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah, that's the old Mormon Muddy Mission, you see. It's way out in what the Navajos call the boonies, you know, out in the desert. Now, the job was Gandhi dancing. Now, Gandhi dancing used to be in the old days. Gandhi dancing was when the Irish were building the railroad. Of course, the first transcontinental railroad was built by Irish laborers. And they used these long-handled shovels called Irish banjos that were made by the Gandhi Shovel Company of Chicago. Now, the Irish laborer would take the wide end of the shovel when he could find it, and he would jam it in under a rail or a tie, and he would climb out on the long handle, do a little jig step out there, and that would lever the tie up or the rail up, and you push gravel in underneath it and tamp it down, and that levels the roadbed. See, that's what Gandhi dancing is. Leveling the roadbed so the damn train doesn't fall off as it goes by, which is just a big drag for everybody. Now, they don't do Gandhi dancing the normal way anymore, see, like they did in the old days. Nowadays, they run three cars out on the line. They run a box car out there that's a bunk car, you sleep in it, got bunks in there 18 inches apart. And then you got a tool car with your tamping irons and your tongs and your double jack hammers and spikes and all of that equipment, see, to do the job. And then you got a cook car. I mean, there's no restaurants anyplace around, so you got a cook car. Pots and pans and a coal or wood-burning stove and a long table down the middle to eat at. Only thing they don't hire is a cook. That's because they're cheap. Saves them money. The rule is that in that crew, they're supposed to pick among their own members who's going to be the cook. Now, they don't try to do it sensibly, like draw lots or decide who the best cook is. What they do is they wait and find out who bitches and whines and pisses and moans the most about the cooking. And they say, all right, wise guy, you think you can do better, you get to be the cook. Well, that was me, see? Old alligator mouth. The new man on the crew, and that was the worst food I'd ever had. I mean, it was dog bottom pie and pheasant sweat Otter water comes out of an otter. It's a terrible, terrible stuff. Some people might think it's a delicacy, but I thought it was garp. So I complained, and they said, all right, wise guy, you get to be the cook. That made me mad, because I didn't want to cook. But I knew if anybody complained about my cooking, that they were going to have to cook. Armed with that knowledge, I sallied forth over the muddy river. I was walking around among the cheatgrass and bunch grass there, and I looked down, and there was just a hell of a big moose turd. Biggest damn moose turd, that was a real steamer, damn. I looked down at that meadow wafer, and I said to myself, self, I'm gonna bake up a big moose turd pie. Because if anybody complains about my cooking, they're gonna have to cook. So I tipped that pasture pastry up on edge. I got my shit together, so to speak. And I started rolling it down toward the old cook car. Boom, boom. I got it down there and leaned it up against the side, and I climbed up in the cook car and I baked up a hell of a big pie shell. And I baked that moose turd in it as slick as you please. And I crimped the edges with my thumbs and laid strips of dough across it and garnished it with a sprig of parsley, a little paprika. It was beautiful. Poetry on a plate. And I served it for dessert, waiting for the first hint of a complaint. Well, this giant dude come in, about 5'40". I mean, he was big. Throwed himself down like a fool on the stool. Picked up his fork. Took a big bite of that moose turd pie. Well, he threw down his fork, and he let out a beller, and he yelled, "My God, that's moose turd pie!" It's good, though.
High perched upon a boxcar, I speed today. I leave the gaunt gray city some good green miles away. A terrible dream in granite, a riot of streets and brick, a frantic nightmare of people until the soul turns sick. Such is the high gray city, with the live green waters round, oozing up from the ocean, slipping in from the sound. I'd put up in the Bowery for nights in a 10-cent bed where the dinky L trains thunder and rattle overhead. I'd traipsed the barren pavements with pain of frost in my feet. I'd sidled to hotel kitchens and asked for something to eat. But when the snow went dripping and the young spring came as one who weeps because of the winter, laughs because of the sun, I thought of a limpid brooklet that bickers through weeds all day. And I made a streak for the ferry and rode across in a dray and dodged into the Erie where they bunt the boxcars round. I peeled my eye for detectives and boarded an outward bound.
I left beard one beautiful night. The stars in the heavens were shining bright. I was riding the bumpers which suited me fine, much better than the handouts on the TMP line. I landed in Welford about 3 p.m. The cops watched me and I watched him. I made him no effort, I give him no sign that I had been bumming on the TMP line. I decided to dress up in style, not look like a bummer, no, not by a mile. Rear back on my budget, give each man a dime, and that would be bumming on the TMP line. A $10 suit and a $5 hat, a high-standing collar and a flying cravat. A new pair of boots, how the leather did shine, much better than the handouts on the TMP line. I met up with a man by the name of Will Wright. He says, I will hire you if you will work right. Well, I will work right and put in good time, much better than the handouts on the TMP line. I got in the wagon and home with him went. The work he gave me, God to me had sent. The work, it was easy and it suited me fine, much better than the handouts on the TMP line. Will Wright had a daughter at the age of 16, the fairest and prettiest that ever I seen. And when I was with her, I was always on time, much better than the handouts on the TMP line. Me and Ethel began to chat. I help gather eggs, do this and do that. Her kisses were sweet and her features was fine, much better than the handouts on the TMP line. I was called to the office one day. Will Wright says, why sis, I hear the folks say. They say you're a bummer all dressed up for blind, that you have been bumming on the TMP line. Well, I don't know as that concerns you. I do all the work you require me to do. If my work it don't suit you, just give me my time and I'll remain bumming on the TMP line. I went by the house to bid Ethel farewell. The grief and the sorrow no tongue can ne'er tell. There were tears in her eyes and so were in mine. She said, you're no bummer on the TMP line. I struck out right down the highway. I could think of nothing but Ethel that day. I love her till yet, and I'll see her sometime if I have to bum my way on the TMP line.
Thank you.
was the early days of the Grand Old Opry in Nashville, Tennessee, over at the old Reimer Tabernacle. That was a black man. Odd to see a black man backstage in those days, a harmonica player. Well, in those days at WSM, the program that preceded the early Grand Old Opry was a classical music program. And one evening, while the Opry folks were waiting to go on stage, the other program was finishing, and they finished with a symphonic piece by Honegger called Pacific 231. Well, DeFord Bailey, backstage, took his harmonica out, and he began to duplicate that piece on the harmonica. Now, I've got them both here, Pacific 231 and the Railroad Blues. All through the night he lay in his dark berth and watched the old earth of Virginia as it stroked past him in the dream-haunted silence of the moon. Field and hill and gulch and stream and wood again, the huge, illimitable earth of America kept stroking past him in the deep silence of the moon. All through the ghostly stillness of the land, the strange made on forever its tremendous noise, fused of a thousand sounds, and they called back to him forgotten memories, old songs, old faces, old memories, all the strange, wordless, and unspoken things men know and live and feel and never find a language for. The legend of dark time, the sad brevity of their days, the unknowable but haunting miracle of life itself. He heard again, as he had heard throughout his childhood, the pounding wheel, the tolling bell, the whistle wail, and he remembered how these sounds coming to him from the river's edge in the little town of his boyhood had always evoked in him their tongueless prophecy of wild and secret joy, their glorious promises of new lands, morning, and a shining city. But now the lonely cry of the great train was speaking to him with an equal strangeness of return. For he was going home again. But why had he always felt so strongly the magnetic pull of home? Why had he thought so much about it and remembered with such blazing accuracy? If it did not matter if this little town and the immortal hills around it were not the only home he had on earth. He did not know. All he knew was that the years flow by like water and that one day you come home again. The train rushed onward through the moonlit land.
Cigarette trees, the soda water fountain, where the lemonade springs and the bluebird sings in the big rock and a mountain. On a summer's day, the month of May, a burly bum come a-hiking down a shady lane near the sugar cane. He was looking for his liking. As he strolled along, he sung a song of a land of milk and honey, where a bum can stay for many a day, and he won't need any money. Oh, the buzzing of the bees and the cigarette trees, the soda water fountain, where the lemonade springs and the bluebird sings in the big rock and a mountain. In the big rock candy mountain, the cops have wooden legs, the bulldogs all have rubber teeth, the hens lay soft-boiled eggs. The farmer's trees are full of fruit, the barns are full of hay. I want to go where there ain't no snow, where the sleet don't fall and the wind don't blow, in that big rock candy mountain. The buzzing of the bees and the cigarette trees, the soda water fountain, where the lemonade springs and the bluebird sings, in that big rock and Sandy Mountain.
Now, Mike, there's a song that has been going around the country for quite a while and is associated with you. It's a song called The Big Rock Candy Mountain. I wish you would tell me what you know about the song, where it came from, and how much you had to do with it. I think the first time I ever heard it was your singing of it back in San Francisco a long time ago.
Yeah, that, well, I'll tell you, Sam. The song, originally, I wrote it when I was a kid. And it was the fairy stories. At that time, the ambition of every real hobo was to snare some kid to do his begging for him, among other things. And they used to tell the kids fairy stories about the lemonade springs and the Big Rock Candy Mountains and so forth. And there was some foundation. In fact, now, for instance, in Soda Springs, Idaho, there were at that time, and I guess still are, springs there that are so strongly, the water is so strong with soda that all you need is to a glass of water out of one of those springs and sprinkle a little lemon juice in it, and you have a very fine glass of soda water. And in Salt Lake City, not far from the OSL freight yards there, there's what was known as the chicken soup springs. It has some sort of a chemical content. It was a great place for the hobos to boil up or wash their clothes. And also the water had a sort of a flavor, you know, it might have been chicken soup. And in other words, there was a little foundation for the idea, but when I wanted to clean this song up, it wasn't a parlor song originally.
Well, do you remember what it was originally?
Yeah.
Well, how about singing the way it was originally, and then we'll do the clean version later.
Well, wait a minute. I don't believe I could do it offhand, Sam. I'd have to do a bit of thinking on that. I'll do the clean version.
All right, you do the clean version, and then we'll do the other. Now, look, Mac, do I get this right, that you made this song?
That is right.
That's right.
It isn't the version that's used by Burl Ives. Burl Ives used some of my lyrics in his number. Or whoever wrote it, I don't know whether Burl Ives wrote that version or not, but it is not, although some of my lyrics are used in there. Yeah.
Well, sing your version of it then.
Well, the clean one.
The clean one.
Yeah. One evening as the sun went down and the jungle fire was burning, down the track came a hobo hiking, and he said, "Boys, I'm not turning. I'm headed for a land that's far away, beside the crystal fountain. So come with me, we'll go and see the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, there's a land that's fair and bright, where the handouts grow on bushes, and you sleep out every night. Where the boxcars all are empty, and the sun shines every day, on the birds and the bees and the cigarette trees and the lemonade springs where the bluebird sings in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, all the cops have wooden legs and the bulldogs all have rubber teeth and the hens lay soft-boiled eggs. There the farmers' trees are full of fruit and the barns are full of hay. And I'm bound to go where there ain't no snow and the rain don't fall and the wind don't blow in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, you never change your socks and the little streams of alcohol come trickling down the rocks. There ain't no short-handled shovels, no axes, spades, or picks. And I'm bound to stay where they sleep all day, where they hung the Turk that invented work in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, all the jails are made of tin, and you can walk right out again as soon as you are in. Why, the brakemen have to tip their hats, and the railroad bulls are blind. There's a lake of stew gin like two. You can paddle all around them in a big canoe in the big Rock Candy Mountain.
Yeah, Mac. Well, now look, I want you to reach up and turn up your radio to the highest volume, and you will have the pleasure of hearing a freight train come in your front door and roar out the back. Well, thanks for taking this trip with me. This has been Loafer's Glory, the Hobo Jungle of the Mind. My name is Utah Phillips, the golden voice of the Great Southwest. Is it possible to be free and stay in one place? Isn't freedom largely habits of thought that are healthier than the ones that put you out on the prod, moving from place to place, or in any case, always moving away from something that crippled your ability to simply abide? I don't know, but I'll find out. I can still hear and feel and smell the trains further away now, fading a bit with time, but still sharp and clear like summer thunder. I wonder what's supposed to happen next.